When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Melissa Cooper, Director of Treasury Management Sales and Onboarding at Associated Bank. Melissa, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I want to focus on a couple of topics that you're presenting and Associated Bank is presenting as part of a webinar on virtual cards and security. And I know we've been talking a lot about fraud and some other things, so we'll get into a little bit of that as well. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the digital payments part of it. I know we've talked about this several times. And the instances of fraud with some of these digital payments is dramatically low. Talk to us about, first of all, what digital payments are and why we're seeing so low numbers in terms of fraud.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Yeah, so digital payments are type of payments like virtual card and online payments like through a wallet that aren't paper necessarily. So they're not new necessarily to the payment landscape, but we're seeing more and more companies adopt them, which is why you hear it a little bit more out in the news and things of that nature. But really, it's anything that's not paper-based in terms of a payment option for customers.
So if I have a, for let's say my iPhone wallet and have credit cards that are in there, that's safer than using a regular credit card out in the wild?
Typically, right? So if you use, and there's all like levels to this, right? But when you use your wallet, typically that wallet provider, like a PayPal or an Apple, they're not passing along your card directly to that vendor. They're sort of negotiating, if you will, that payment transaction for the vendor. So it does make it more secure so that, you know, fraudsters can't intercept it as easily and steal those that number for additional payments that you didn't authorize at some other point. Mm-hmm. So it does tend to give a more secure type of payment versus a check, which we talked about, where all of your information is just out there in the mail sitting around to be taken up by a fraudster.
Yeah, the checks, I know we've talked in the past about how we're seeing a lot of that check washing. People steal your checks out of the mail and then they're able to change the stuff on there. That's still a problem, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah. It's about 75% of all types of fraudulent transactions versus what you mentioned, like lower percentages with some of these digital payments. And, you know, you mentioned virtual cards earlier. You know, fraud attempts on that is only like 5% of all fraud cases as well. So when you get into the digital payments and specifically cards and virtual cards, you really reduce your chances of fraudsters taking taking your information and stealing it.
And I just want to understand more about single-use cards. Explain that a little bit more for us.
Yeah, so a single-use card or a virtual card is typically tied to your credit card or sometimes a debit card. And what it allows you to do is you get a single-use number. So if you look at your card, your credit card or debit card, there's a number on there, right? But that stays static with your physical card. With the one-time use card, you're issued a single-use number that you can give to a merchant and say, hey, charge this. But it's only one time that they can use it, right? Or for a set period of time. And so the minute that transaction goes through and that single use number is used, that that card, that virtual card, is no longer accessible by, you know, anyone. So why that helps with fraud is, right, if it's a single use card, a fraudster, even if they get a hold of it, it wouldn't be useful because it's no longer an active number for that to be transacted upon.
The instance of fraud involving those single-use cards is a 0.0004%. Mm-hmm. Very, very low.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. It is. It's very low. And if you think about why, right, because they're single-use, oftentimes, you know, we see a lot of our business customers, they'll use this with our card program. And, you know, they'll use it one time to pay for a piece of machinery or some type of inventory they need. They'll give it to that merchant and then it's done. Or they may set a time frame, right? They could say, oh, this merchant can hit it twice in the next 2 months. And then after that, it's done. And so even if a fraudster did get the card in that instance, the impact that they can have is so limited because it's only limited to what was available on that single-use card for that period of time.
Melissa, does that loan number and does the process involved here tell you anything about how these fraudsters are getting the information? Because it seems to me that it does, right? It kind of gives you a little bit of a roadmap.
Right. Well, so typically if they are getting it, it's because it's kind of, I'll say, user error, right? So it's usually the individual who has that one-time card has been duped through like business email compromise or something where the vendor that they're paying, somehow their email got intercepted and they were told to pay here and it really wasn't that vendor, is usually where the fraudsters end up being able to enact that fraud on that virtual card. So it usually is because of the user themselves who provided it to them directly. Usually the fraudsters aren't actually getting access to the card itself in some way like they can with a check. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so low, right? It really takes someone saying, oh, here it is, and them using it versus them finding it out in like the black, you know, on the black web or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. You just don't see those out there for a fraudster to get a hold of.
And for the rest of the cards that we use that are not single use, that mm-hmm. also tells us something about them too, right? You mentioned the dark web and using your right. card at a compromised transaction point or somebody seeing your card
exactly.
number. Those are the ways that
exactly.
that information is being stolen?
Exactly. Yep. So they can be out on the dark web, like you said. If sometimes you go to gas stations and they'd have those covers over the slide so they can steal your information. There's people who can walk around and get the, RFID on it and use it for nefariously. So having those physical cards, which is still much more secure than like a check or whatever, still are vulnerable to some of those types of access points in terms of getting, which is why I always recommend like using a wallet, because it's not being shared with the merchant if you are going to use a physical card. And certainly you don't want to use your account number as much as possible, because you can always sort of replace your physical card. But the minute you sort of start handing out your account number, then you got to change your entire account as well and close that down and get a new one. So mm-hmm. being careful about those access points are really important.
There's a new payments fraud and control survey that's out for 2025. Mm-hmm. And despite mm-hmm. all of the conversations we've had about security and fraud, the number of victims is up again, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is. People are still using checks, and it's that report by the AFP, the Association for Financial Professionals, still 79% of organizations are, victim to fraud, and most of that is checks. And so as much as we've tried to spread the word, there's still a lot of susceptibility to it. And a lot of it's being because of business email compromise. I think you saw in that report, ACH debits and wires are up this year, especially wires a little bit. And a lot of it is really business email compromise, where customers are getting an email saying, oh, update my vendor payment instructions. And our customers aren't always verifying that those are accurate instructions. And so they're sending out wires or ACHs. And by the time they realize that the funds are gone. So it makes it very difficult to retrieve those for clients as well. So a lot of it's business email compromise that's really spiked in the last, frankly, and even in 2025, it's spiked dramatically. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of it.
And there is something else too, impersonator fraud. What is that about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm so glad you brought that up, Steve. So impersonator fraud is when a fraudster is calling a consumer, a business, saying, hey, I'm a CEO, or I am from, put their bank in there, impersonating the bank or some authority and saying, hey, we need this information because something's going on with your account, right? And oftentimes what they're trying to do, Steve, is get through the multi-factor authentication, which is that dual authorization. Typically there's like a number that comes up on your phone, right, to get into a system. And so these fraudsters are calling and saying, hey, something's happening with your account. We really need that number that just popped on your screen so we can help you out. Well, the message I want to make very clear to people is banks would never call you out the blue and ask you for that information. Never, never. We wouldn't just call you out of the blue and say, hey, we need those four-digit numbers on your account. And so if customers ever get these calls from people who are impersonating a bank, a senior authority, it's okay to hang up and call a trusted source. So like the number on the back of your card, your relationship manager, and say, hey, I just got this call. Is this really true? And most times it's not, because banks just wouldn't do that. And so that's what we're seeing a lot of just that impersonator fraud happening. And unfortunately, people are falling susceptible to it.
The trend seems to be changing a little bit, though. I saw by one of the reports here, I think it was the Institute for Commercial Payments, that before COVID, the virtual card market was about $200 billion, and that market is expected to be $500 billion by 2025 and even higher by 2029.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think especially businesses, get this tool and start using it. They're really trying to figure out good ways to incorporate it into their payments processes. And so you're going to start seeing more and more of this, especially because it's just a really good way of not only protecting companies from fraud, but also when you use a card, because these virtual cards are typically attached to some type of corporate credit card program. And so not only when you use it, are you protecting yourself from fraud, you have an opportunity to get a rebate back for the use of the card, and you're also extending your days outstanding payables, right? So you're actually impacting your cash flow in a positive way. So, you know, by using corporate cards in general and virtual cards specifically, you're really making a dent on your instance of reducing fraud and then creating getting rebate and increasing your cash flow. So it's just a really triple win for everyone.
Yeah. And the report says that, and again, I think this is one of the latest years that the numbers are available, 2021, one in three business owners were cutting their use of checks, because obviously that's one of the main areas of fraud. I'm guessing that number might be higher. Do you have any anecdotal evidence that that number is now higher than one in three?
Yeah, I mean, I think anecdotally, we are talking to a lot of clients around moving into more electronic payments, right? Because what they're finding is the cost of being able to process the checks is higher than what they thought, right? And then, I know we're 5 years out from COVID, but that was also a big eye-opener for businesses because, if you only have checks and you need to pay your people or pay a vendor and you can't get to those checks because you can't go into an office, that makes it really hard to move and collect money. And so we are seeing a lot of clients on this journey of how to digitize their payments. And I think it's just going to continue to increase a lot because we're having a lot of conversations with businesses about, moving away from the whole idea of checks and moving into electronic and digital payments.
Melissa, how is artificial intelligence going to change this conversation?
Oh, good question. So I think what artificial intelligence will do in a few ways, right? So from a banking perspective, we use it in some of our algorithms to help, to help identify fraud, help our teams and our back offices be more responsive to it. But for a customer, I think what it'll help too is also identify with all these different payment methods, it'll help them identify like what's the best payment method to use for this particular transaction, right? So do I use a card to pay this vendor, or do I use an ACH, and what's most cost effective for the business? And just kind of helping businesses sort of think through all the many options they have and which one is the best one to do it. I think AI will also help them hopefully start thinking about and protecting themselves from fraud and doing some of that due diligence to remind their employees on how to really confirm some of these payment transactions that they're sending out to, and making sure that who they're sending the money to is actually who they send the money to. So,
yeah. So this is really in just common terms, just in basic terms, good guys versus bad guys battle, isn't it? Are the good guys winning?
Yeah. I think so. I think good guys are winning. I think certainly, I'm biased. I'm in the banking industry, and we're doing a lot to really help customers to win against the bad guys and stuff. It's just the challenge is the bad guy only has to be right once, and we have to be right thousands and thousands of times a day, right? And so that's what makes it challenging, because they're consistently coming up with new ways to try to poke holes into systems. And so the good guys have to be on it all the time. So that's what makes this really difficult, Steve, frankly. But I think we're still winning. I still think we're trying to, you know, instances are going down. If we can get people off of checks, that'll be a really, really good win.
All right. Melissa, thank you. Great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. So people can reach out to me at treasury@associatedbank.com. Be more than happy to talk to them.
All right. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.